Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. I hope you're having a good day so far. And Noah is not with us today. He's a little bit under the weather. And I sound like I am, but actually I feel fine, but my throat is, or voice is almost gone. I didn't even realize it until Noah called me early this morning, and I had already been up. I was studying, looking over my notes and some things like that, and he called, and when he said hello, he sounded like he had swallowed Kermit the Frog, and when I answered back, I realized, oh my, I don't sound very good either, but too late to do anything about that now. But we are glad to be here today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we always take a moment to invite you out. If you are in the listening area, maybe you're visiting, maybe you are passing through, maybe you live here and you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come out and be with us at Mount Lebanon. We are located on Baird's Creek Road. That is just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits, and we are located above the Willow Creek Golf Course and a little vacation community right there. We're just above that on the right-hand side of the road. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for all ages, including our college classes. We are heavily involved in the Collegians for Christ ministry. And we appreciate Brother Kyle Austin and Sister Amanda and the work that they do with the college students there. And our whole church is involved in trying to minister in that aspect. And so we are thankful for that. Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. Second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 p.m., we have our Sunday night service. And then every Wednesday night at 7 we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. Now, a lot of churches didn't get to have church last Sunday. We were one of them. And so from time to time, when the weather is not cooperating, we have to cancel. We always put our announcements on. We have a calling tree within our church, but we also put our closings on booneweather.com, goblueridge.net. There's a lot of places like that. We try to let everybody know. You can also call our church phone number, 963-4596. And our website, of course, we don't put our closings on that. But if you've missed any of the radio broadcast or anything like that, or you'd like to hear a sermon, you can go to mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And so lots of opportunities to get in touch with us, to find out what's going on in the church. But here on Blessings of Liberty, we've been studying for several weeks now on the subject of education. And when we think about education, we've been specifically talking about the foundations in early American education. This is part number 8 that we've been looking at this. 8 different weeks we've been looking at the subject of education. And for the past several weeks, we have focused upon the life of one man. Now we're going to start to wrap that up today as we graduate into our next topic along these lines. I guess if you were looking at this whole study as a book, we started out and just gave some early information about education when the pilgrims came over and how that was like. We talked about some of the early primers and readers that we had in this country. Then we begin to talk about Noah Webster. And Noah Webster is commonly referred to as the father of American scholarship and education. And it's said that he educated 5 generations of America, his famous blue-backed speller. And we said, and we've been using Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 3. The Bible says over there, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so the foundation, as most everybody knows, the foundation of anything is very, very important. And anything with any history behind it, if you'll go back and look at the foundation or the beginning of it, you can find out a whole lot about that thing, whatever it might be, whether it's an organization, whether it's a political party. We're going to talk just a little bit about that today, whether it is our education and why we educate the way we do, what our emphasis upon or has been upon in the past. And so we're very interested in the history of our education. We've looked at three things concerning Noah Webster so far. We've looked at his career and the Webster's 1828 Dictionary, or actually it's called the American Dictionary of the English Language, and it was published in 1828. All the work done by Noah Webster himself. We talked about his career with the dictionary. We talked about the Blueback Speller, the readers, the spelling books, all of these things. What a huge emphasis, what a huge impact that he has made upon our education in America, and most people probably do not even realize that. His career was very, he was very focused on America being its own nation, not just an extension of England. So he felt like even in our language that we use the English, but we speak American. And there is a difference between the two. And he wanted to make sure that he knew that as a nation, if we were going to be really independent and be our own country, we had to have use of our own language. We had to have a dictionary. We had to have definitions of words and their meanings. There were words that he introduced that were not in other dictionaries, words that were specific to our country, such as constitution, representative, lots of political words. And so we talked about his career. We talked about his character. We talked last week about his conversion, that although very early on, Noah Webster was religious and he was moral, and he was involved in his local church, his congregational church. His writings made reference to Scripture. His Blueback, his spellers, all these things, they had moral lessons drawn from the Bible and especially from the book of Proverbs. So he was religious, but he was not converted by his own testimony until he was 50 years old. And at that time, he was soundly converted to Christ, a result of a revival that had taken place in his town. And at first, he tried to resist the feelings that he was having, the impressions is what he called, but finally he gave in to that as being of the Lord. His religion was one of reason, that everything had to be reasonable and well thought out. But the impressions of the Holy Spirit upon his heart brought him to a place to realize that he had never been converted. He had never trusted wholly in Christ as his Savior. And so when he was 50 years old, he came to know Christ as his personal Savior. And he became very involved in his church, in outreach, soul winning. He wrote a gospel tract. He became very, very active as a Christian. So we talked about that last week as being very important when we're talking about somebody that had such a great role upon the upon our nation and upon our educational system. And today we're going to talk about something else. And this is the last thing we're going to talk about, which is leading into the next chapter that we're going to look at. But we're going to talk about his controversy. And what I mean by that, everybody that stands for anything is going to have controversy in their life. And that doesn't matter if you're standing for the right, you're standing for the left, you're standing for conservative principles, you're standing for liberal principles, whatever. If you make a stand for anything, you're going to have controversy in your life. And Noah Webster's life was not a bed of roses. It was not a life that was without controversy. He did have much controversy in his life, a lot of it because of his political beliefs, because of his patriotic beliefs, because of his beliefs concerning the Christian religion. He had a lot of controversy in his life. Not only was he a great educator, but he was a great American. And he believed that our nation, our Constitution, United States Constitution, our independence from England, politically, socially, our language, our education. He believed in all of those things, and that put him in the crosshairs a lot of times. He was very vocal about his beliefs concerning all of these things. For example, we talked about last week when he was a member of the Massachusetts House of Representatives, he worked on a bill concerning funding education. And in that letter, or in that introduction to that bill, he said, "I should rejoice to see a system adopted that should lay a foundation for a permanent fund for public schools and to have more pains taken to discipline our youth in early life in sound maxims of moral, political, and religious duties." Now, think about that today. What if somebody set out, some politician, somebody that was in the one of our congressmen in the House of Representatives, if they tried to introduce those things into our public education curriculum to discipline our youth. That word discipline means to educate, to instruct our youth in early life in the sound maxims of moral duties. Okay, moral would have to do with what is right and what is wrong. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't covet. That was the morals that they put forth that centered around the Ten Commandments and what you would find in the Bible. And then political. And his political instruction had to center around our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, that America was not Great Britain, and that we were totally independent, and that our system of government was better than any system of government in the world, and that our way of doing that was better. We could learn from the others, but we were something new and different. And so he was not trying to turn America into a socialist nation. He wasn't trying to turn America into a European nation. He wasn't trying to turn America back to Great Britain, but he was completely on board. Our republic, our Constitution is better than all the other systems in the world. And so today we find there's a great movement to turn us back, to turn us into a socialist nation, to turn us into a European nation, to be like Germany, to be like France, to be like England again. Well, Noah Webster was against all of that. And so he wanted our young people instructed in morality, in political, meaning our Constitution, our representative government, our republic. And then he also said religious duties. And so he was very controversial when it came to that. Now, not everybody in this country at that time agreed with these things. Controversy has always been a part of life in America or any other country. So when we study about American history and we find George Washington and we find Benjamin Franklin and we find Patrick Henry and John Hancock and Sam Adams and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Noah Webster, and we find all these great founding fathers that we think about, there was also on the other side opposition. There were those that were opposed to separating from Great Britain. There were those that were opposed to the Bill of Rights, that were opposed to freedom of speech, that were opposed to a representative type of government. And so you had a great opposition even during that time. They were opposed to the Revolution, the American Revolution. Now, these enemies of the Republic were called Jacobins. Or Jacobinism. And this thinking of Jacobinism came from the country of France, and it was imported from the country of France. Now, about the time we had the American Revolution, you can also study about the French Revolution. And in the French Revolution, there was a change of the way they did things, but it came with a massacre. I mean, it's just not the same thing as we had during the time period of the American Revolution. But this Jacobinism was imported. These thoughts and these tactics were imported from another country, from France and Europe and places over there. And the problem was this, and this is very up to date, even though we're studying about something that happened well over 200 years ago, the same controversies are going on today. Now, the problem was this of the Jacobins. It was the problem of allowing foreigners to influence our political institutions, our social life, our educational systems. And so these people came in and they began immediately off the bat to subvert what had been done, all the work that had been done in the founding of our country. Immediately, there was a movement to try to turn us back to Europe. And so that was the problem. Foreigners coming in, trying to make America not what she had just become. Now, if Noah Webster were alive today, he would definitely have lots of controversy surrounding him. If we would look at him and his statements today, a lot of people would look at his statements that he made, that he wrote about, and they would say, well, he was racist, I hate to make this comparison, but they would definitely view him as a conservative. They would view him as the most hated of conservatives. I guess that would be a good way to put it. But he would have controversy today with the liberal ideology, with those who we hear people talking about being progressives. Definitely Hollywood would not like him. They would not like what he stood for. The liberal press would not like him. The National Educational Association, the teachers' unions, they would not like Noah Webster and the things he stood for and said, although he's the father of American scholarship and education and influenced the whole way of our educational system. Of course, we have gone far, far from our founding. And what has happened is some of these influences have come in and totally changed from what we were when we started. And so how did that come about? Let me read to you some of the things that Noah Webster said about the Jacobins and this influence that was coming into the country. Listen to what he said. He said, "I consider as a matter of infinite consequence the cautious admission of foreigners to the rights of citizenship." Now, let me say just a little bit about that. He was warning America. He was warning his fellow Americans at that time that we need to be very, very careful, very cautious about admitting foreigners to the rights of citizenship. Now, legal immigration or immigration, people coming to this country, was a hot topic button in the late 1700s and early 1800s. And you know what? It's still a hot topic today. And people get very up in arms when you start talking about immigration. Noah Webster was for immigration. I'm for immigration. I've said this a lot of times in preaching, pastoring here on the radio broadcast. If I lived in another country and I looked around in the other countries in the world, I think I would want to come to America compared to some of the other countries. I would want to come over here. I would want to have opportunity. I would want to have some of the a lot of the things that America is represented by. I don't blame anybody for wanting to come here, especially when you look at the state of other countries and how they are. And they a lot of them have no freedom. A lot of them have no opportunity. They have poverty. They have oppression. They have a lot of these things. So I don't blame anybody for wanting to come to America. What our controversy is, though, is how people come to America. I think everybody would say, I'm for legal immigration. I'm for people coming legally into this country. But the concern was not people coming, but those who would come not being pro-America, not being for the republic that we had then, not being for our Constitution. The concern was about people who would be allowed to come in, who would subvert our governmental policies, the processes that we have put in place in our government that would come in, that would be put into positions of influence, and just by their sheer numbers, that they would use those numbers against our Republican process, our representative form of government that we have. So that was a concern of Noah Webster. Hey, that's a concern today. And so he said, I would be very cautious about allowing foreigners the rights of citizenship. So what was controversial back then is still controversial today. Listen to something else he said, talking about foreigners coming in and being allowed rights of citizenship. He said, numbers of them who have within the past year arrived and settled in this city come with violent prejudices against arbitrary government and a government of laws based on free elections. And so Noah Webster was very concerned about those who had come and settled even in the city that he was living in at that time. And he said that they came, you know, not to contribute, not to make America a better place, but these people that were coming and settling, they had violent prejudices against our government, against our way of life. And so what he was concerned about were people who were coming, they were settling here, and they were actually against what they were trying to do. They were against our way of government. They were against our way of life. They had violent prejudices against free government. Now, that was the way it was then. We have the same thing happening today. We have people coming to this country. They are not satisfied with our laws, with our way of government. They want to come. They want to be incorporated into being citizens, but they do not want our laws. They want Sharia law. A lot of Muslims, I know not all of them, but a lot are coming to this country. Many have come into Europe. They have come into England, and they are literally captivating those countries and their laws, where some countries in Europe have certain sections set up where the laws of the country do not apply, but the Muslims that have immigrated there, they want the law that they just escaped out from under, or they came from, they want Sharia law. And so that is a system of law based on a society that was going on in 600 AD. And so if you steal something, you cut your hand off. If you're a homosexual, or if you are caught committing adultery or something like that, they'll cut your head off. If you're a Christian and you will not convert, they'll cut your head off. And that's happening all around the world. People are having their heads cut off by Muslims because they do not line up with their religion and their law. Now you say that's racist. No, that's really happening in our country. Noah Webster said there's people come to our country and they are violently prejudiced against our way of life and against our government. So what was the problem then in a different manner? It's the same problems today. Here's something else that Noah Webster said. Now this would get him a lot of applause, I'm sure, and I'm being sarcastic in saying that. He said many of them are warm Democrats, and the immigration society here is headed by Democrats of our own. In short, the opposers of our government are literally wriggling themselves into all sorts of company to carry their points. Now, I know that would strike a chord with some people to say that, but all I'll say about that, I'm not making this up. This is facts of history. And if you don't like what he would say about calling some of these people Democrats, well, you just got to learn your history about what the Democrats have historically stood for. Historically, the Democratic Party has been the party of oppression. They were the party that was pro-slavery. They have been the party that has been most involved with groups like the KKK. Even as late as the 70s, early 80s, some of the standing senators and congressmen in their early careers, they were against, and I'm talking about Democratic senators, they were involved in the KKK. They were opposed to integration in the school system. Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. And I know what people would say. They'd say, oh, that was then, this is now. But what I'm talking about is foundations. Foundations. If you want to know about an organization that you're involved in, find the history of it out. And as you find the history of it out, you'll find that it comes all the way through. It comes all the way forward. It might manifest itself a little bit differently, but pretty much it'll stay the same. So he said that. He said some of these people opposed to our government are Democrats. He said also, he said one main article of their policy is to attach foreigners to their principles the moment of their landing. So as soon as these people were landing, they were making making Democrats out of them. That was well over 200 years ago. And look what he said. He said, if that system of creating a popular interest extraneous from the legislature to influence their proceedings, that system of raising a multitude of isolated private clubs over the nation as its guardian should spread through the country, we may bid adieu to our Constitution. And so what was he saying? He was saying if a multitude of foreigners are influenced as a voting block, then we can say goodbye, America. We can say goodbye to our Constitution. Listen to what else he said. He said, our safety, talking about in America, our safety is in the country people who more scattered and independent are out of the reach of the demagogues. And so what was he saying? He was saying our safety is in the country people, not the people that live in the cities where most of the immigration, where the big blocks of people are. And as soon as they settle here, they get under the umbrella of one party or the other. And that same influence is alive and well today. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you've been asleep for several years. If you remember in this last election, what did it boil down to? The country people and the city people, the red states and the blue states. And there are those that say, oh, we need to do away with the Electoral College. No, the Electoral College is a great thing. The Electoral College makes sure that a state like Idaho that has a very small population still has a voice in the vote. If we just had a popular vote, the politicians would just have to focus on New York, California, Texas. They'd just have to win just a few states, and they'd win the whole election. So the Electoral College ensures that the country people will never be kicked out of having a voice in the elections. It's a very important part of our representative form of government. And so the Democrats, historically, as well as now, they've had, well, not historically this, but they have groups of people. And they'll say, you know, we've got the black vote, we've got the Hispanic vote, we've got the women's vote. And during this last election, did you notice another way they sliced us up? They said, we've got the educated vote. We've got the college, we've got the university, the person with the degree. And so as I thought about that, and this goes back to education. This goes back to education. If our colleges are turning out voting blocks instead of scholars, engineers, technicians, doctors, lawyers, then isn't there something wrong with our educational system? These people should be the highest thinkers in the land. They should be able to think for themselves, examine for themselves. They should be able to explore. They should be able to do all of these things, not just follow and vote for who they're told to vote for. And so all that comes back to education, the importance of education in our country. And so we're going to go from the elementary to the university. That's where we're going through in this study. And so we're going to look at education historically in our modern world. And it's always been a controversy, but it's very, very important. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in. I hope you have a great day. And God bless you is our prayer.